Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Happy New Year's, guys. It's 2021, and many people this time of year are thinking about their resolutions. Now, this is things that they want to change in the new year. So maybe one of yours is that you want to improve your English this year. So in this podcast, Justin and I discuss scientifically validated ways that you can actually be successful in achieving your goals this year. And trust me, from my personal experience, you can actually get so much more done, so much more achieved than you might even imagine is possible right now. So without any further ado, let's jump into episode 215 of the Real Life English Podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
fireworks.
Way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, writing down your goals for the year, or even...
shooting off Roman candles.
Hi, yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio by the man who can build a snowman out of rain, Justin Murray.
Oh, yeah. What is going on, Mr. V? How you doing?
Doing great. And you?
Doing pretty well. Great to be here.
I guess this time of year, if you want to build a snowman in Brazil, it's pretty necessary that you know how to do it out of rain.
And sunshine, right?
Yeah. Not for us here in the Northern Hemisphere. So today you gave some, you said fireworks, not exactly an adjective, but I guess you can light up fireworks when you're really excited about something, right?
Yeah, you can maybe say, I don't know if this is a word, I'm going to invent it, but maybe fireworksy. Spectacular, I don't know.
Yeah, people can probably imagine what that means just since it's like fireworks is something that you light off when you're celebrating. And You said something else related, you said a Roman candle.
Yeah, Roman candle, it's a type of fireworks that we do on the 4th of July. Have you tried this before? Basically, it's a stick and they shoot off these fireworks, right? Maybe kind of dangerous, I don't know, but it's fun.
A lot of young people get into some major accidents by playing with fireworks, so you have to be careful. In Colorado, they're actually illegal, so because there's so much prevalence of forest fires and stuff. So the only way we could get them would be going across state borders.
Well, actually, I grew up right next to a Native American reservation, and they have fireworks there, different laws, and so it was pretty rampant.
What does rampant mean?
Rampant means like very open, unregulated.
Mm-hmm. Find a lot of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on the subject of fireworks, of starting a new year, today we are talking about something that is extremely important when the year is beginning. A lot of people will have what we call in English New Year's resolutions. What are those?
A New Year's resolution is when you set your goals. Your resolution means not just your goal, but you resolve to do this, right?
Mm-hmm. But the problem with resolutions, a lot of times they can be very vague. Like, for example, people will say that they want to lose weight or they want to get in shape. But because that's a very vague goal, a lot of people, maybe they get a gym membership or they buy some new running shoes or something, but then they might find February or March rolls around and they haven't really kept up with that resolution. So today we're going to talk about more goal setting and habits so that you can actually be successful if there's something that you want to do, which maybe one of the things is improving your English in 2021, that you'll be a lot more probable, you'll have a lot more of a chance of being successful in those goals. And if you want to take it to the next level, we also have something that you can download absolutely for free that will help you a lot in kind of sitting down and doing your planning and having it all written down and reflecting about it so that you can be even more resolute in reaching these goals and make sure that you're going after the right ones. So you can download that goal setting workbook either in the description if you're watching on YouTube, Or if you are listening to the podcast, all you have to do is head over to the show notes for this page, where you will also find all of the vocabulary and other things mentioned in this podcast. And that will be at reallifeglobal.com/2021new year, all together as one word. You can maybe make yourself a cup of coffee or some hot chocolate, or maybe if you're down in Brazil, you might want a caipirinha or something cold, and you can join Justin and I here in having this awesome conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So that said, before we get into talking all about goals and how you can be more successful in 2021, we have a shout out for a very special listener and student of our Fluent with Friends course.
So this is actually from Gisela, who is in the Fluency Circle, which is a community portal for members of our courses where people from all around the world connect and share. It's a Telegram group and a Facebook group, and sometimes we do events as well for people to meet and speak and connect. And Gisela is a really awesome member. And she says, "Hi guys, first of all, I want to thank you for the work you're doing for us. Your podcasts and videos are fantastic. Every day I can learn new things. Since I enrolled in the Fluent with Friends course and started watching your videos, I've noticed a big change for the better when it comes to my English learning process. I'm studying at an intermediate B2 level at the official language school in Palma de Mallorca, but we don't practice real English, and you've helped me to get out of my shell, and now I feel on top of the world because I love this language and I won't stop until I can speak English fluently and without fears. Where there's a will, there's a way." Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's great to hear from you, Gisela. I guess maybe you're a Mallorquina, you're from Mallorca. I used to live there, so it has a very soft spot in my heart. And it's really great to hear that you're having so much success with our course and with all of our other free learning materials. So thank you so much for taking the time to leave us that comment. She actually left us that comment over on our blog. So if you want to do that on the show notes while you're downloading your goal setting workbook, you can definitely do that. Or you can also head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to us and leave us a 5-star review. And the really great thing when you do this is you're also helping other people from all around the world to have a lot of fun learning with us. So that said, we have actually two quotes to share with you, which are very relevant to today's topic. And I think they'll inspire you a little bit and kind of set the stage for us to talk all about this super important subject. So the first one is from Napoleon Hill, who wrote a very famous book called Think and Grow Rich. And the reason that this is such a fantastic book is because at the time, I mean, this was a long time ago, maybe like it's probably like 100 years old now, but he looked at like all of the most successful people around in the United States at that time and kind of like what made all these people successful. What did they have in common? Was there like any kind of characteristics or any habits that they had that helped them to reach that success? And one of the things that he identified is they all had a really clear purpose in what they were doing. So what he says, here's the quote, is, "There's one quality which one must absolutely possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one truly wants and a burning desire to possess it." So he says, if you ever read this book, it's a really great read if you haven't, but he says that over and over again throughout the book, how important that burning desire is. So what is a burning desire, Justin?
Well, the burning part is more like the, you can feel it, right? So it's a part of your body. Mm-hmm. And the desire obviously is your purpose. It's that want. You really need to want it. It kind of reminds me of another quote, not to throw this in there, but when, I'm paraphrasing here, but when your why is strong enough, your any how is possible, ultimately. I'm paraphrasing a Nietzsche quote, but basically it just means that your purpose is sort of like the engine for the rest of the process. And if you don't have a strong purpose, it's really hard to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And once you have a purpose, that'll be really powerful, but you also need a plan. So that's where the next quote comes in.
Okay. So the next quote is, you do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. And this is by James Clear. And this is kind of the quote that you said, Ethan, is more like starting in the middle, in the core, with like your why, your purpose. But this is more going to what you actually do. So, and maybe you don't even need a plan. You can start small oftentimes, like listening to this podcast or, you know, listening to a song in English. But ultimately, it's about building that habit, building those systems, right? So if you have a good system and you repeat it over and over again, then it becomes a habit. It becomes automatic. And then when you get lazy or whatever, you fall to that level. And you don't really stop doing it ultimately because it's natural.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And who is this guy, James Clear?
James Clear, he's a blogger. He has a really great blog, and he has a book called Atomic Habits, which is a really great book about habit formation, really bringing together a lot of the best science, the newest science on habit formation. And it's a really amazing book that I read earlier this year, and it really changed my perspective on things.
Definitely. So habits is a really big topic. And actually, in planning out this podcast, we realized that we really need to also do another podcast on habits, because this can be such a huge foundation. If you kind of know how to build and maintain the right habits, then that'll be like rocket fuel for anything that you want to achieve in your life. And obviously, with setting goals, that's very important too. So we will touch on it briefly. But for sure, let us know on YouTube down in the comments below, or over on our blog, if that's something that you would like us to make. But that said, we can jump right in to today's topic, all about how can you be more successful in setting your goals for 2021. So there's a topic that we've talked about several times on this podcast, and an author and speaker named Simon Sinek, who we have learned a lot from for sure. And he talks about the golden circle. So what is the golden circle, Justin?
Okay, the golden circle is basically like, it's a model, as Ethan was saying, by Simon Sinek, which basically takes three levels. It's a circle in the middle. If you're watching on YouTube, we'll show the actual image. So in the circle in the middle is your why. And the next concentric circle on the outwards, you have your how. And then the final one on the outside is your what. So it goes why, how, what. And basically, he uses this to illustrate his model that you should start with your purpose. Whatever you do, start with your purpose. And he says the greatest companies in the world, the greatest brands, ultimately the best way to communicate is starting with your purpose. And ultimately this cuts through a lot of the noise and the logic, because human beings, ultimately, we don't really follow logic so much as our emotions. Really, if something grabs our emotions, that's the most important thing. It's going to move us to action. And the same thing in marketing as well. So when the brands that you like, they give the example of Apple. And Apple is a brand that really cuts through the logic of that noise, really the explanations, and really goes to really the core of that message. And the same thing with your English or with whatever you're doing, it's really important for you to start with why. Start with why are you learning your purpose. Cultivate that, go deeper, clarify that, build that clear burning desire, that clear burning purpose, and have that clear at all times and stay connected to that, because that can be an engine, your motor. It can keep you really connected to the whole process and why you're doing it. And then it's much easier to really flow into your what after that. And how does he explain the what in this model, Ethan?
So he says throughout the book that he wrote called Start With Why and the TED Talk that he did on this, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So kind of the what would be when you're not talking about companies, but you're talking about what you're doing or whatever, the what would be simply your goal or your vision. So kind of as you're starting 2021, maybe you're thinking of those what's. Most people kind of like start with that what. So they're thinking, as we said at the start, like I want to lose weight, or I want to get in better shape, or I want to get fluent in English. But when you start with this, it doesn't really have that same power. As like Justin was saying, you're not connecting emotionally to it, and you're not really cultivating that burning desire that you need that will actually help you to get through the most difficult times.
So one of the things, just to bring real life English around to this, we really start with our why as well. Like, what's our why, Ethan?
To create a world beyond borders.
Yeah, hopefully that comes through in everything we do, because really it's important to us. Like we've clarified this as a company. We're always talking about it. We're always doing activities around it. And also hiring people, we're bringing people on our team who believe in that as well. And we're trying to connect to people who believe that as well. So if you believe what we believe, it's that. It's like creating a world beyond borders. And English is really important to connect to the world. So if you're really going to be successful in English, you connect to the world. You get to the point where you see that the world really is beyond borders, that no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater. And that's the strong core emotion that we try to pass with what we're doing. Because if you dig deep enough, you can say like, oh, well, I'm learning English because of a better job. And that's true. Maybe it's true because you want to travel or because you want to understand TV series. But if you keep digging deep enough and you keep working on improving yourself, you realize that the highest realization there is becoming a member, or really owning up to your membership of that global community, which is, you know, global citizenship.
Totally. So we talked about the why. We talked about how important having that purpose is and having that kind of like light a fire within you that pushes you forward, that makes you really excited, makes you pumped, as we might say, to reach that goal, to keep on going for that vision and do the hard work that's necessary. But then what is the how? We haven't talked about that yet.
Well, I might say, like Simon Sinek says, before the how, you should actually focus on your what. You should have a clear idea of what that is, right? So oftentimes, maybe it's like your goal, right? So it's what's your mission at the end of the day. So I think there's the purpose and there's having a clear idea of what you want to accomplish, right? Would you say that that's an important part of Sinek's theory as well?
I think, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to know, right, where you are, where you stand, because like if you don't have any idea where you're wanting to go, then, you know, any road will take you there, as we say. So I think if you at least know that you have the goal that you want to improve your English or you want to lose weight or whatever the case is, then you can kind of like work on your why and your how. And by doing that, then I think you'll clarify even further, kind of making that what a little bit less cloudy, a little bit less vague.
One of the things that we talk about a lot is like our mission is kind of a what. So it's like our mission is to guide learners beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. So that real world fluency, that sort of a what. If you can imagine that, like what it's like, if you can visualize that in your mind, so it's like real world fluency isn't some far off perfection that someday you're going to, you know, speak English perfectly. It's like something that we believe that it can be now. Like really, starting now to start to understand natives, listening to this podcast, you know, finding the joy in that journey and what you're doing now in this moment. So understanding natives, communicating confidently with anybody. So not just connecting native speakers, but connecting with that global community. And then the final one is just owning up to your global citizenship and connecting to the world. So
what does that mean, to own up to something?
Own up to something means to take ownership, take responsibility for it in some ways. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like assuming your power in that part of yourself, assuming you're right, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we are all part of that global community. And, you know, the fact that you're from one place, I'm from another place, really, if you go out into space, right, that overview effect, if you look at the world from space, you see, like right now, like you're in Barcelona, it's 4 hours ahead. You're from a different part of the world, right?
It's even a different hemisphere, different seasons.
Absolutely. It's cold there. It's warm here. And it's a different time of day, you know. In a few hours, it's going to be night there, and it's still going to be day here. So just imagine yourself from space, and you realize, like, Earth, it's just one living organism, ultimately. Even, like, the plants and the animals here, it's all, like, one ecosystem. We all come from the same living organism. So that real-world English, you can be part of that right now. You don't need to wait until someday. But anyways, with that said, I think it's a big topic.
It definitely is. And it's something, as you can see, that lights a fire within us, if that wasn't apparent by how much we talk about it on this podcast. So you have your why, you have that burning purpose, you have a vision of what you want. And it's, I think, just like going, as Justin was saying, it's not just saying like you want to be fluent in English, but actually knowing what that is. Because I think so many people say, you know, my goal is that I want to be fluent in English, but then they don't really reflect on what that means and what will their life look like when they get there. And then having the method, the how, to actually get there. So as Justin said, like something that mantra that we say a lot is don't just learn it, live it. So it's making it a fun, natural, and convenient part of your life, like you're doing with this podcast. It's watching, you know, videos, it's watching TV series and actually using subtitles in English, or getting to the point where you don't need subtitles and actually using that as a learning resource, not just something that you do to relax, and doing things like this where you're spending as much time as possible every day in English. And when you're able to do this, I've seen so many people be immensely successful in learning English without ever going to live in the United States or the UK or another English-speaking country.
Absolutely. To make it a permanent part of who you are and what you do every day. Those baby steps. You don't need to be perfect. I know some people who, you know, watching a TV series, they think they'll put on subtitles, you know, or they'll, you know, dub it because they want it to be perfect already. They want to have that 100% comprehension already. They want to know they're getting the most out of it. Absolutely. But at the same time, you can step back and look at it as a learning process right now too. and embrace your imperfection. Embrace that, well, you know, you're going to make some mistakes. You're not going to understand some things. If you're speaking with somebody, you're gonna get caught up sometimes. You're going to trip over your words. Maybe you might have to repeat yourself. You might have to ask what something means or how do you say something. So that imperfection is an important part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. That imperfection and striving to get better every single day, right?
Absolutely. Progression, not perfection, right?
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So for the method part, we have what our methodology, we call it the Real Life Way, and Justin and I actually did a series on that, which starts at episode 150 of this podcast. And if you go over to our blog, you can also download the transcripts for those 5 episodes. So this is a really great way for you to kind of get the tools that you need so that you can kind of build that method that's going to help you to be successful. But that's how we've talked a little bit about this golden circle. So this is a really powerful framework that can help you to kind of conceptualize what it's going to take to reach that goal. So like having that purpose, having the method of how you're going to get there, and finally, what exactly you're trying to achieve specifically. So with the rest of this podcast, we kind of want to give you some more tips that are going to help you in kind of figuring out what is the right what is the right goal and vision to have.
Yeah, absolutely. You can take it from a few different perspectives, right? That you can start with a purpose first, and that leads to action, or maybe you're not motivated now. You know, hopefully if you're listening to this, you're motivated. That motivation is a very valuable thing and it's very helpful for your process, but so you're not always going to be motivated. You're going to wake up one morning and you're not going to feel it. You don't need to feel that motivation to be successful. A lot of times it's like being a runner, for example. It's like I run 3 times a week and I don't feel like it most mornings, but I put on my shoes and I walk out the door. And I do it. And sometimes even if you don't feel like listening, you can just push play. You can push play on that podcast. You can just start speaking, open your mouth, put yourself in the position or just show up. A lot of times I think in this book, Atomic Habits, he talks about a guy that wanted to get in shape and go to the gym and make his body much more fit. And at first he wasn't in shape and he didn't have habits at all. But what he did is he just showed up. He just went to the gym and he spent like 5 minutes there. And that was that was his actual habit because he needed to get in the habit of going there. And once he was there, he started to feel like more like, oh, well, I'm going to pick up this weight now and I'm going to start working out. And the most valuable thing you can create at the beginning is really cultivate that habit. And that habit at the beginning is a very small thing, but it's very powerful over time. It snowballs. It snowballs into mm-hmm. something much more impactful in your whole process.
Definitely. So those kind of like micro habits, they're called, of where you might start out doing something just 5 minutes or something, and that's all that you're committing yourself to, because it sounds like really ridiculous too. It's like going to the gym and just spending 5 minutes there. But I think what happens to most people is you'd go to the gym, you'd spend 5 minutes there. Maybe like, I don't know, in 5 minutes, what can you do? You can do maybe a few push-ups. You can do some reps with some weights or something. But what's going to happen probably after a couple days is you'll be like, well, I'm already here, so I'm just going to do a little bit more. And that 5 minutes turns into 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, until you're finding all of a sudden that you're looking a lot better and you're feeling a lot better. And obviously you can apply that to your English as well. If there's like, you know that you have to study some grammar because there's like there's one aspect of conjugation or something that's really holding you up, or something else like this that you've identified that trips you up, that you're always making mistakes with, but you're resistant. You're not finding that motivation and stuff. It's like, okay, well, just say that you're going to study for 5 minutes while you're having your coffee in the morning. And the same thing will happen. You know, you start with just 5 minutes and it's no big deal. You're enjoying your coffee and you're just doing a few exercises. And before you know it, you know, you'll have realized that 20 minutes have passed because you'll actually have started to enjoy the process.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
And I think what you were saying about the motivation, that you don't always feel that motivation, and sometimes that motivation actually comes from doing it. I think this is never more true than when we're starting, for example, a new year. Almost everyone gets really motivated at the beginning of the year because everyone's like, you know, it's a new year, new me. It's what we might say in English, is people always look at the beginning of the year and it's that kind of like fresh start that they can get. So they will look at that and they'll be like, okay, I'm going to try to do these 10 different things. But of course, what tends to happen to people is that motivation is really strong in January, but February rolls around and, you know, it's a little bit more tempting maybe to watch some TV or to have some cookies instead of going to the gym.
I think one of the biggest things you can do, because the whole idea of like goal setting, New Year's resolution, if you only do it at New Year's, then you're going to fail, most likely. If you don't have a process to actually do that, you need to be constantly doing that. You need to have that as a part of your daily routine, your weekly routine, your monthly routine. You need to constantly check in. And you need, like, it's because if you don't actually have a clear idea of your goals, you forget them. If you don't write them down constantly, you forget them. And you'll stop doing the actions you need to actually make it happen.
Yeah. I think, like you said, like daily, weekly, monthly, kind of having these ritualistic check-ins, I think that the easiest place to start is probably, at least for me, this was true, is starting with like a weekly review. Because what I did is I set that I would do the same day and time every week that I'm going to do this weekly review. And I look at my goals. I look at like the habits that I'm trying to cultivate. And I look at basically what happened this week. What did I do well? Where did I fail? What can I do better next time? And then I plan out the next week. What am I going to do? And by doing this every week, I think you find by, you know, actually showing up to do that every week, even if you have like a bad week, it's a chance to start again. So you're constantly creating these spaces where you can start again. So it's not just once a year and, you know, it didn't work out the first couple of weeks of 2021. And so it's like, okay, well, the whole year's out. If you're doing this every week, then it's like every week is a new chance to start over.
I think what you're saying there, a lot of times people will think like you need to be 100% successful. You need to do it every single day. And then they fall off the horse.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to fall off the horse?
Fall off the horse means like when you're trying to start a new habit or you're doing something in a habitual way that you get lazy or something. Like if you're on a diet and you have like a day where you fall off the horse, you eat a bunch of like junk food and
those cookies looked really good.
and the tendency is a lot of people when they'll fall off the horse, they'll be like, ah, screw it, I'm done, because they think they failed. But ultimately you have to really shoot. You want to shoot for 100%. You want to do your best, but you have to be happy with 80-90%, and ultimately like when you fall off the horse, get back on, renew that motivation, come clean with yourself.
What does that mean to come clean?
Come clean with yourself means to almost forgive yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and say, okay, Justin, you know what? You said you were going to do this, but you didn't. But what can you do now? All you can do is take responsibility, learn from it, and move forward.
Yeah. And so I think like those checkpoints, like having that reflection, it's just so important actually, like being able to take, even if it's just like 10 minutes, but to like write down that, okay, some things didn't go the way that I planned this week, but what can I do better next time? Why didn't it go so well this week? And what can I do better next time? And maybe you can start to recognize patterns. You can recognize things in your life maybe that are causing you to fail and stuff. And you can start to actually go to the root cause of that. You can actually figure out, you know, what are these obstacles, get them out of the way. And then, you know, your path forward is a lot clearer.
Yeah. And this actually, to come back to real life English, what we do, you know, if you have a business or you work for another business, you have goal setting processes, hopefully. There's something called OKRs, and OKRs means objectives and key results. And this is a process for goal setting that Google follows, and that a lot of other big companies follow this, and they've used this to become successful. Like from the very beginning, they've used this process of every 3 months, they define like what are the most important objectives that they want to accomplish, and how do they get there? How do they measure that? And then they constantly integrate it into their processes on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and everything they do points back to that. And so if you want to learn from those companies, you can do the same thing with your life.
Definitely. And I think like a lot of people who are really avid fans of OKRs, they actually do apply it to their life. They actually create OKRs as like a, they use that as a goal system. So we could actually look at some aspects of that that maybe you can, if you're actually doing this, if you actually have some time in the near future when you're going to be setting your goals, that you can apply some of these techniques to make it a lot more effective. So the first one we have is actually identifying areas of attention.
We always talk about the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. In this book, they talk about like zooming out and looking at your life, all the different dimensions of your life. So you have like your work is one area, right? Like you have your family, your spiritual life, you have your body as well, taking care of your body. So your body, your family, your work, anything that you really integrate into your life, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think this helps a lot because it kind of gives you balance between these different areas of your life, because maybe if you are just focusing on one aspect, then you might not take into account other things that are important. So like maybe you're just focusing on improving your English, but you're not focusing on the demands that you have with your family and everything. And by doing this, then it's like, okay, you create maybe some goals for things that you want to do with your family, things that you want to do to maintain and grow those relationships, and also things for your English, and kind of having that balance there. And you do this, basically, maybe you'll identify like 4 or 6 different areas of attention, and this helps you to have balance in your goals so that you're able to give some focus to all the different aspects of your life that you consider important. And I think for this as well, it can be really important to know your own values. If you actually have some system of values, or if you have taken the time to reflect on this, I think knowing your values can help a lot to figure out what are these areas of attention, what's really important to me.
Yeah, that is super important. The book actually, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, they talk about creating a mission statement for yourself. So which ultimately is sort of like a combination of like your why and your what. Like really, why are you doing this? What's your purpose? And what's your end goal? But the great thing about English is that if you're living your English, you're connecting it to other areas. So maybe if in your professional development you have goals, you can link those to your English as well. Or in your personal development as well. Hopefully, like we're able to do this with this podcast, make it something like that's interesting that you're learning from, and maybe even some professional things you can use.
Definitely. And I think with like having that balance between different aspects of your life as well, you can do this for your English as well. So you could have like, I don't know, vocabulary, speaking, listening, and you could create goals for each of those different areas just to make sure that you're having like balance there and you're actually putting that focus on these different aspects, because I think most learners will just focus on their speaking, on like improving their speaking. But it's so important that you're also like getting even more listening practice in, because all of that input ultimately is what's going to lead to great output. So like you need to learn that vocabulary. You need to correct the mistakes that you're making when you speak. You need to also like be working on your pronunciation so that you can speak clearly and people can understand you.
One of the things I used to do when I was teaching one-on-one, I used to have my mm-hmm. students create, I know you've done this too, but they create a schedule, basically like mm-hmm. like in a log, basically log how much time they're spending on their English, and imagine it like it's a training program, right? So I used to be a runner. I used to write training programs. I'm going to do Monday, I'm going to do this. Tuesday, I'm going to do this. And so I plan mm-hmm. out my week, I plan out my months. And ultimately, if you do the same thing with your English, that's really going to help you, because you can get an overview of your entire English. You can look at it from a higher perspective and see how much time you're putting into all these different areas as well. And mm-hmm. one other thing I want to mention really quickly is meeting people, you know, developing those connections, building your global tribe. If you can find a way to meet people from around the world, if you can find a way to make friends through whatever experiences you have online in your city, whatever, this is really helpful too, because this gives you can kill those two birds with one stone, right? You can make a friend and you can practice your English, and that becomes like a very socially enriching thing to do as well.
Definitely. And I think that, like you said, it's really important. Again, like if you're reviewing once a week and you're planning once a week, it's another space where you can do this. I would just give kind of like a warning to people though, is like, make sure that you are pacing yourself. So it's kind of like we talked about running before. So it's kind of like a marathon that you can't expect to be able to run an entire marathon in just a few weeks. It's like you have to really have that kind of plan set out before you of when you're going to do the different things to kind of be able to build up to reaching that objective. So if you take on too much at once, then you're probably going to like start failing on a bunch of different things, and you'll get really down on yourself and you might give up. So I would say kind of like take baby steps and focus on one thing at a time. And like, once you really have that first thing down, once you've developed that habit, for example, if you're studying vocabulary and your plan is to learn 3 new words a day, once you're able to do that every single day, then you can add like the next thing and the next thing on top of that. And it's almost like you're creating these layers, but you don't want to keep adding more and more layers until you've really got a stable foundation.
Yeah, exactly that, Ethan. You build on your habits layer by layer. It's super important. And probably the only other thing I'd add to that is experimentation, the importance of just trying out different things, because not everything's going to work for you. It's really discovering stuff that you connect to, that fits well with your life, that it can make it fun, natural, and convenient. So it integrates into what you're already doing. So you don't need to spend a lot of extra willpower to integrate it. And that's a really great formula for success.
Yeah. I think like going back to the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, there's a metaphor that he talks about in there, is that if you're climbing a ladder and it's on the wrong wall, then it's like, okay, you might be making a lot of progress climbing that ladder, but if it's on the wrong wall, then you're making progress towards the wrong destination. So kind of like making sure, as Justin said, experimenting, being curious, trying different things, and really knowing like how you learn, kind of getting to know yourself, and, you know, not kind of climbing up that ladder if it's against the wrong wall. You want to catch that as soon as possible so that you can pivot, you can move to something more successful. So maybe we could talk about a framework that is really, really great for actually when you're setting your goals, when you're writing down what they actually are, to help you to be more successful in that. Because like we kind of said at the start, if you do something really vague, like saying, I want to be fluent, you're probably not going to be very successful. So the first thing is that you need to make these goals specific. So instead of saying, I want to be fluent, you could say, I want to increase my English by 1 level this year. So maybe if you're on the European framework, you might say, I want to increase my English from B1 level to B2. And you're actually going to study to be able to take that exam and to get to the next level or something like that. But there you actually have like a very clear goal, and it's much easier to define whether or not you were successful in reaching that.
And I would say like, just check that out. First of all, the European European Framework for Common Reference for Languages, is that it? Mm-hmm. Basically that has a really great description of what fluency is, and you can sort of locate yourself on that to figure out where you're at, to be honest with yourself as well. Not to feel bad, not to like, you know, get down on yourself, but you know, recognize where you're at and what the next level is.
Mm-hmm. So these are called SMART goals. That's what the name of this framework is, because the first letter, S, is specific. So what's the M for, Justin?
M is measurable. So measurable, can you measure it? Maybe it's kind of hard sometimes, really, with English, because it's communication, it's very subjective. You have certified tests that you can take. That's one way to do it. But I guess you could do it, like, for example, understanding native. So it's like, I want to watch this TV show and get the general idea. Or I want to watch this TV show and understand what is subjectively 90%, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of other ways that you can do this, probably depending on the aspect that you're focusing on. If you have, like we were talking about, if you have a good balance of the different areas of attention, then maybe one of the things that you're going to focus on is increasing your vocabulary. If you're wanting to speak English, it's super important to continue adding new words. And also, you know, for being able to understand, obviously that's very important. So you could say like, in 2021, I want to learn 1,000 new words. That's something that's like very clear whether you did it or not. And it's also very easy to make a plan, because if you're saying like, okay, maybe I'm going to give myself 10 months to do this, I'm going to start in February, then you can easily break down how many words you need to learn per day to be able to do that. And then once you have that, then it's much easier to make a plan for, you know, how are you going to learn those new words? Where are you going to find them? And things like this. So you can start to see when you apply this framework, when you make these goals specific and measurable, and the other 3 that we're going to talk about, then it makes the whole rest of the process easier as well.
Okay, so the next one, the A in SMART. What is it, Ethan?
Attainable. So I think this is pretty simple. It's like basically something that can be achieved. So I think after the measurable ones, maybe if you say, I want to learn 10,000 new words, and that means like, I don't know, you have to learn like 30 new words a day or something like that, or 300 new words. It's some hard math for me to do right in this moment, but you have to learn a ton of new words a day. It's just like, it's not realistic. You're gonna eventually fail in being able to do that. So making sure that it's something, is it actually possible? And we'll talk a little bit more about setting goals that are stretch goals, like goals that might cause you to have to work hard to get to them, but they're still attainable. So that's kind of the important thing. Like, is it completely impossible or is it just something that you can do, but it'll be difficult?
Something you might want to think about with attainable as well, because some people say like, oh, I want to speak like a native. And you see a lot of like really like lower level learners a lot of times want that. This is their goal because they haven't really been through the process and this is just what's on their mind. And maybe this is what they've been told is acceptable. But really it's like, if you're self-aware and you talk to people and you understand what that means, what it is, you might realize that it's not even important. And the R is actually relevant, the R of the SMART goals. And maybe that's not even relevant. Do you need to speak like a native? For the most part, you don't. It's sort of it's a vanity goal in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. because you want to sound exactly like a native. It's really difficult, really difficult. If you want to spend like hours a day to train your pronunciation for something that doesn't really make that much of a difference in the communication, you can get to a point where it's like your communication is pretty good and you can become very native-like in a lot of ways, very clear and confident and effective in your communication, then that's a totally different goal a lot of times.
Yeah, I think it could be much better to be able to say, you know, I want everyone that I speak to be able to understand me subjectively 90% of the time or something like this, because that's a better goal. It's more relevant for, I don't know, probably 99% of English learners. Because, you know, if you're actually focusing on that clarity and everything, people understanding you, then, you know, you're actually using the language as a tool. If you have a perfect accent, but you're not speaking very clearly and people can't understand you, which even happens to some natives aren't very good at articulating, then, you know, you're not using that language as a very good tool or anything. So it's kind of like looking at your life and your goals and everything, and how important is that really to the context of what you're learning English for?
So that's relevant. That's relevant, right, Ethan?
Exactly. And then the last one, what's the T for?
Timely. So timely means like having a deadline. It means you can measure it at a certain point, right? So by December 31st, 2021, I want to do this. Or you can make it 3 months, right? I think 3 months is a good point to like check in.
Yeah. And it's really good. I mean, we talked about kind of like doing those weekly reviews and things like this, maybe even doing like monthly or quarterly reviews, quarterly meaning every 3 months. And having deadlines like that, it also allows you to build those layers. So maybe first you're focusing on vocabulary, that's going to be like your first month. And then after that, you'll have like a deadline for whatever the next thing that you're planning on doing. And by doing this, you can kind of like look at the whole year and you can really balance out all the different things that you want to do. And that's going to make you much more likely to be successful. And even if you don't meet a deadline, because maybe sometimes we can be very ambitious at the beginning of the year of how much we can get done, just kind of like having the time where you're going to review that and everything and renegotiate it with yourself, kind of looking at what came up, what prevented you from doing that, and how to continue forward.
Just having a goal in the first place will make you much more likely to be successful. Just having something clear in your mind, but writing it down actually brings the success rate up. I've read this study somewhere that it's like over 88% or something if you write it down, if you have a clear goal and you write it down. And a lot of these things, I think it's important as well to have accountability partners, people in your life. You can have like a coach, you can have a teacher, or just like telling other people who you're close to, communicating with them about it, because then it reinforces your identity, it reinforces the commitment, and it's going to help you along the way.
Yeah. I actually have a friend that I meet up with every 2 weeks, and we do this. We actually like share our goals at the beginning of the year, and we will hold each other accountable to them. So it's like every 2 weeks when I have that meeting coming up, it's like all of a sudden I think my productivity on different things will go up a lot, because, you know, by it almost sets kind of like a deadline that by that day I want to make sure I'm getting these things done. So I think just having someone else that is helping you to keep accountable, and you can do this for another person as well, I think that alone is like, you don't want to show up to that other person saying that, you know, you failed or you didn't do it. So that might be kind of the rocket fuel that you need to light that fire within, to give you kind of that motivation to keep going, even when you really would rather eat some pizza, watch some TV.
So Mr. V, we talked about accountability, right? This is kind of a hard word, I think. I don't think it translates too well to other languages. How would you describe that? To hold somebody accountable.
Yeah, we'd say to hold someone accountable is to hold that person responsible for what they say they're going to do. So, I don't know, your manager, your boss at work probably holds you accountable, But you can do this also in life, like we're saying. If you have like a good friend, maybe your wife or husband, maybe even your kids or something, that you can tell them your goals and maybe you can hold them accountable as well. And I think it's nice having relationships like that.
Sometimes there's even, I've heard that you can pledge to donate to some charity or even a charity you don't like.
Yeah.
In order to...
It's even more effective.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to do that. This is extra motivation, right? It's extra fuel mm-hmm. in the fire.
Exactly. So I think having any sort of consequence like that, maybe if you don't have money too, you could... an example I always give is like, okay, maybe you have chores around the house, like telling your wife or husband that any day that you don't do such and such goal, you're going to take out the trash. And that person's going to be, your wife or husband's going to be sure to say like, hey, did you do that today? Because they don't want to take out the trash. So I think like you can think of different things like this, that when it kind of, you know, maybe it's 10 p.m. at night, you still haven't done it, you really don't want to, but it's still better than that negative alternative. So you do it anyway.
Yeah. This is a big area. This is habit formation. I think we've wandered into another topic that's very relevant, but it's definitely another podcast too.
But... Definitely. So that's probably a good place for us to start to wrap up. We've been talking about this for a while, and I think there's so much more we could talk about, and we'll definitely have to do another podcast on habits, and let us know if that's something that you would like. But kind of on a final note, I think the most important thing is starting right away. So you're listening to this podcast and everything, maybe you're getting motivated, but actually do something right now, like go and download that workbook that we're giving you either in the description below on YouTube or over on the show notes page, or even just take a moment on a little piece of paper or on the notepad on your phone to write down like a few quick goals that you think you would like to do this year. I think just like those little tiny baby steps, just like starting to do something, that gets the ball rolling. It gets that kind of like the action that you're taking that will kind of build that motivation within to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. I think starting with why, like we said, worksheet we provide, it has a start with why activity. Like, what's your purpose? Why are you doing this? Connect to that motivation and build those baby steps. Plan them into your life. Integrate them into your life. And you can kill two birds with one stone. Listen to English on your, listen to this podcast on your way to work mm-hmm. while you're washing the dishes, right? While you're walking the dog.
Exactly. So be sure to head over to realifeglobal.com/2021new year to download that, to find all the show notes with any relevant links, with the vocabulary, the most important words that we covered today, some of which we probably haven't defined because we forget about it. And we look forward to seeing more of you here this year on 2021 on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Aw, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.